What do you think of when you hear the word church? A building with a steeple on the outside and a pulpit on the inside? A warm place with good memories like Sunday school, VBS, SCAMP, the Great Banquet? A cold place with money grubbers, abuse, and the three R's of religion? Not reading, writing, and arithmetic in this case, but rules, rituals, and regulations. Let's remind ourselves from the Bible what God has in mind for the church. Our topic for this sermon series is snapshots. I love this study because it takes snapshots from everyday life that everyone will recognize to teach some valuable spiritual truths. Today's snapshot is the body of Christ. The church is a body, and we are to serve one another and serve with one another. I love this metaphor because everyone can relate. After all, every body has a body. Your body may not look or work just like you would like for it to, but we all have some idea of the ideal. So if you used your hands to get ready to come here today or to access online presence, if you used your feet to get here, if you can see me with your eyes and or hear me with your ears, then you are a living, breathing illustration of today's truth. What your body illustrates is how the church body coordinates to serve one another and to serve with one another. That's the topic of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says in verse 1, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Some versions translate the word uninformed as ignorant. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, ignorance is bliss. Well, Paul didn't think so with this topic. Ignorance is not bliss if it is willful and chronic. So Paul treats the illness of ignorance with the cure of knowledge. He says in verse 2, "I know," and verse 3, "I want you to know." Verse 2 says, "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." During ancient pagan religious rituals, people sometimes went into a trance-like state and said things as if inspired by the Spirit, capital S, when in reality they were inspired by a spirit, little s. Verse 3 says, Paul, "I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit, capital S." Evil spirits would not want people to say nice things about Jesus. And so they would inspire people in this trance-like state to say things like, "Jesus is cursed." Also, there could not be a sincere, heartfelt affirmation of the Lordship of Christ unless a person were inspired by the Holy Spirit, capital S. So Paul begins the subject of spiritual gifts by talking about the Lordship of Christ. Why is that? Because Lordship leads to service. If He is our Lord, then we are His servants. And He wants us to discover and develop and deploy our spiritual gifts in service to Him and into His kingdom. Now, Paul describes the source of gifts in verses 4 to 6. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God who fulfills all things in all people. This passage uses some interesting words. Gifts is from the Greek charisma, service is from the Greek diakonia, and workings is from the Greek energeia. The word deacons is a transliteration of the Greek word. It's not translation, a transliteration. It came straight from their language to ours. And so every Christian should be a sort of a charismatic, energetic deacon. We come from different backgrounds, live in different neighborhoods, work in different professions, but we have the same beliefs, vision, values, loyalty, and Lord. There is diversity within unity. Our common denominator is Jesus. He is also the source of all of our various gifts. Gifts come in various forms, varieties of abilities. Paul says in verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Spirit manifests himself or makes his presence known for the common good in different ways through different people. How does that work? Well, consider these illustrations. Gold can be melted and poured into a mold for jewelry, but it is still gold. Paint can be spread onto a canvas in a variety of ways, but it is still paint. Frosting can be squeezed through a funnel in a variety of shapes on the end of a frosting cone, but it is still the sweet confection we know as frosting. Similarly, the Spirit of God is poured into each of our lives, then he expresses himself in a variety of forms or patterns or shapes. Now think about the last of verse 7 and the words, for the common good. As I've said before, spiritual gifts are not toys to play with, talents to compete with, or trophies to brag with. Spiritual gifts are tools to build with for the common good. Spiritual gifts are God's bodybuilding program. They're not given us so we can look good or feel good. They're given us so we can do good for others and bring good to others. Verses 8 to 10 of 1 Corinthians 12 provide a list of 9 gifts. We know it's not an exhaustive list because other gifts are listed elsewhere in the New Testament. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4 are some of the places. It may not be a timeless list either because some gifts seem to be more prominent prior to the completion of the Bible. And there is some friendly disagreement among Bible-believing Christians as to the spiritual gifts. But the point is, the Lord distributes the gifts. Verse 11, Paul says, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So the Lord determines the gifts. God is the jeweler. God is the painter. God is the baker. He determines the form that your gift and mine will take from the body of Christ. The mold is for the gold, but the goal is the jewelry. The brush is useful to apply the paint, but the point is the painting. People don't eat the frosting funnel, they eat the frosting. We're just the mold, the brush, the funnel, into which the Holy Spirit pours our gifts. What we do for the common good. Paul further describes the unity of the body. Notice the occurrence of the word one in the following verses. The body is one and has many members. All the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free. All were made to drink of one Spirit. Paul again emphasizes unity. Many members, but one body. Then Paul changes the emphasis to talk about the diversity that exists within that unity. He talks about unity with diversity in verse 14 when he says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We are one unit, but we have diversity within that unity. Now, if we're not careful, we can develop some spiritual inferiority complex that leads us to think, I don't belong. Paul illustrates how silly it would be for body parts to feel that way. I suspect Paul was smiling as he wrote the following words. First, you have the talking foot who says, I don't belong. In verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So, Paul pretends, for the purpose of illustration, that a foot can talk. talk. Now, I've heard of people putting their foot in their mouth, but I've never heard of people putting a mouth on their foot. This fretful foot is feeling inferior. He thinks, if I were only a hand, I would matter. I wouldn't be hidden from sight under these socks and shoes. I would be on display more often, like the hand. People would put jewelry on me like they do the hand. I could wave at people. I could applaud people. I could pat people on the back. I could do things that matter, but I'm not a hand. I'm just a foot. I can't make a difference. I don't matter. I don't count. I don't belong. Then the Apostle Paul moves from the fretful foot to the cheerless ear. He pretends that an ear can talk too and says, I don't belong. Verse 16, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So the fearful ear says, if only I were an eye, I would matter. People look each other in the eye, not in the ear. Eyes are talented. They can see things. They can see the flying bird, the running dog, the playing child. If only I were an eye, I would matter. But I'm not an eye. I'm just an ear. You can't even say the word inferior without saying ear. I don't matter. I don't count. I don't belong. So Paul addresses the fretful ear. He says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where's the sense of hearing? So Paul says, dear ear, don't feel inferior because you are an ear. The fact is, if the body were one big eyeball, that would be strange. It would be weird to be uneared. A giant eyeball is unheard of. Eyes are significant, but an eye can't hear a thing. Sure, an eye can see the bird, the dog, the child, but they don't even know to look until you hear the chirping, the barking, the laughing. Eyes can do lots of things, but eyes can't do everything. So don't feel inferior, dear ear. Also, don't feel independent, dear ear. He says in verse 17 again, if the whole body were an ear, where is the sense of smell? So Paul proceeds to say, dear ear, you are good at what you do, but you can't smell a thing. The nose can often smell the smoke before the ear hears the crackling of the flames, or the eye sees the flames of the fire. The fact is, you need each other. You make a good team. The eye and the ear and the nose work together. Then Paul affirms, you do belong. Verse 18, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. He says, it's wrong for you to deny your value to the body because you cannot do what others can do. It is also wrong for you to deny someone else's value to the body because they cannot do what you can do. Remember, God is the jeweler, the painter, the baker. He arranges the parts. He decides who can or cannot do this or that. The next passage reminds us of that. Paul addresses the arrogant attitude that some might develop, according to verses 19 and 20. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So Paul returns to the eye illustration so we can all see his point. The arrogant eye says, you don't belong. That's what the arrogant eye says. You don't belong. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. It's silly for the eye to say that it doesn't need the hand. Think of the opportunities the eye can see but cannot act upon without a helping hand. the eye might see a meal to feed the body's hunger, a drink to quench the body's thirst, a blanket to warm the body's cold. But the eye cannot act upon what it sees. It has never picked up food or drink or blanket. In fact, the eye has never picked up anything except for visual signals. Then Paul utilizes the head as an illustration. He says in verse 22, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I mean, it's silly for the head to think that it doesn't need the feet. The head might see where to go, but the head will not go far without some favorable footwork. It's wrong to say, I don't belong, or you don't belong. The right thing to say is, we all belong. Paul says in verses 25 and 26, there should be no division in the body. Its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. What happens to one part of the body happens to the whole body. Have you ever hammered your thumb or stubbed your toe? For a moment, you were all about thumbs and toes. Now, thumbs and toes are a relatively small part of the body, but when they hurt, the whole body feels it. That's true of hurting. It's also true of honor. When one part is honored, everyone is honored. If your finger wears a ring or if your wrist wears a watch, you don't hear your ankles or your toes complaining because we all belong. Paul says in verse 27, you are the body, and each of you is a member. We play a variety of roles, but we all have a role to play. I've told you that earlier in ministry, I played a variety of roles, various roles during the course of ministry. I was director of children, director of youth, even director of music for a while. I served in those areas long enough to appreciate people whose gifts and abilities and passions led them to serve instead in those areas. I am so glad that people use their gifts, abilities, and passions in their stage of life to fill in the gaps in children, youth, music, adult, visual arts, counseling, mercy, accounting, technology, craftsmanship, and more. Because no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. So here are three questions for every member of the body of Christ. The first question is, what's my role? That's the question of contribution. And I'm not talking about financial contribution. I'm talking about every form of contribution. What are you doing to contribute to the health and growth of this body? Your role will be different than the majority of the people around you. Don't expect everyone to share your abilities or passions. Don't expect everyone to sign up for your ministry. Discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gift and give others the freedom to do the same. That's the first question. What's my role? That's the question of contribution. The second question is, what's their role? That's the question of appreciation. I received a card this week saying, thanks for lending me a hand. It contains a cute little puppy with an artificial arm and a hand on it. And I really appreciated that expression of appreciation. May I suggest that you express your appreciation to someone? And it can be a staff member, but it can also be someone who is less obvious, someone who's not a staff member. Send a note, write an email, make a phone call, say thanks. That's the first question. What's my role, contribution? What's their role, appreciation? The third question is, what's our role? That's the question of coordination. As I said before, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. So look beyond the occasional dissatisfaction you have with others and irritation you have with others, all the way to the idea of coordination you can have with others. Be a team player. Now, you as a church are about to enter a new chapter in your life. You're going to receive a new pastor soon. In view of that, let me suggest some different questions. These are good, better, best questions. The good question is, what will my new pastor do for me? That's a good question. I mean, after all, a pastor comes to a church to serve the people to whom he is called. A better question would be, what will we do for our new pastor? That's a less self-centered question. It's thoughtful. I hope you do ask that question and answer it in practical ways. Your pastor will need your care and your kindness and your love. A third question is the best question, and that is, what will we do together for the body of Christ? Because each of us is part of the body. I close with a poem called The Rebel Hand. My body had a rebel hand, which did not want to stay. He didn't like the way I treated him at work and play. I thought that I had served him well and treated him quite fair with thoughtfulness and gentleness and tender, loving care. I lotioned him when he was dry. When tired, I gave him rest. I tried to guard from injury, and wounds I quickly dressed. But he was still unhappy. All he did was gripe and groan, and so he unattached himself and crawled off on his own. But he could not go far or fast because he had no feet. And he got hungry, for he had no mouth with which to eat. He got cold and lonely, weak and sickly, pale and thin. He finally returned and reattached himself again. He's healthy now and happy. And he's very helpful, too. He always lends a hand when there is work or play to do. That hand learned a lesson then that all of us should see. Stay attached and be involved to be all you can be. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for calling us to be members of the body of Christ, a unity with diversity, doing what you have in mind for us to do and allowing and enabling and encouraging others to do the same. Help us, Lord, to contribute to the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.